Yeah. It's been ages since we've recorded.
I know. It's been well, since you've been there, it's been, I think, a month.
It's been a month,
and it's
yeah.
been two or three weeks since we've recorded.
Yeah.
And then we had 2 weeks break.
Yeah, I grabbed Mike's mic.
Oh, yeah.
The so round. I could do something in between. And then we just got busy and nothing ever happened.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. I was...
I think
M should host.
Why?
Why is this a bad thing?
Because I got a reaction.
Just
that's
the way
why.
You said it. Yeah. But it's... Oh.
No, I've been thinking about this. You're the only one who hasn't hosted since I've been involved.
Really?
Really.
You keeping track?
I've got OCD.
Well, you obviously are.
Problems.
Yeah.
Give away all the
I'm covering up the porn. We just don't need to see it.
It's not my fault.
Until we do another episode 69.
Yeah, 69 episode.
It'll be like 169. That'll
well,
be the next one.
Yeah, probably.
138?
No, that one...
What?
It's
maths.
Double 69.
Double 69.
Oh.
So like when
I'm like trying 69. To put like, imagine how the people are 138.
How do I even
that
do that? It's a James
how
chain.
Do even do
it's
that?
It's a party
that's
thing and you've got to
people.
Stretch before you start.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh my god. We do need to do another porn episode though.
Yeah, it was fun.
So much fun.
Yeah,
you
I'm going to introduce
in
my
Cage
good friend. I don't have a Nick Cage voice.
Well, you better get one.
It's. I shouldn't have said. I sent him a text saying, "Let's do this like with Nicolas
Can
Cage," which was a really dumb idea.
Either as Bowie or as Nick Cage, you're listening.
Nick Cage.
Hi, and you're listening to Watcher.
No, I can't do
try
either
it,
of those.
No, I've got to do the. This is blah,
no,
blah,
but
blah.
Like, just imagine if he tries to do it. Hey, this is Nick Cage.
And your name's Nick. It's
I know my name's Nick.
Has
he speak? He's got kind of that drawl because he's.
No, he is. You got to be like just.
I'm trying to think about it
because
what's something. What does he say? Like, he needs to say things.
I don't know.
You remind me of a babe.
Nicolas Cage does not play Jared.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were doing Bowie. Sorry.
Or David Bowie stealing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can you imagine Nick Cage?
Doing that? Oh, my God.
That would be brilliant.
Oh, my God. That would be so good.
And the codpiece, it would just be awesome.
Oh, and like Bowie in Face Off. Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay.
What I was thinking David Bowie in National Treasure. I just like.
Oh my god!
Came up against Sean Bean, that would be brilliant.
Okay. Hi, you're listening to The Watcher Show, your weekly dose of all things pop culture. I'm Em.
I'm Dean.
I'm Nick, and today we have our special guest with us, Elroy.
I don't know how special I am.
We'll be the judge of that.
All right. Now I feel pressured.
I think there was something that you were wanting to do or say.
Yeah,
right?
There's something I've been trying to tell you guys for a little while here. It's that I want to steal the Declaration of Independence because I'm freaking Nicolas Cage!
That was actually really good. I like that. That was good.
Yep. Thanks for having me, guys. I'll see you later.
That was excellent. Nice work.
How are we all doing? It's been a while since we've been together like this with Em as well.
It's been, like, how long has it been since,
like
the actual gang has been all together? Like,
a
with Mikey
and
Mike as well.
It's a new rule we don't. Yeah. It's only when there's a certain alignment of planets that we can all
exactly.
be in the same room.
I mean, you will understand that in a week I leave on a 5-week holiday, so it's going to be that way again.
Yeah. And that'll just be normal.
Yeah,
absolutely. We're basically a well-oiled machine of some parts that are there.
Of not being consistent.
I fell apart much faster than I expected. But
mighty robots.
Yeah, but you guys had done a recording a little while ago without me, right?
We have. I think
we did
two.
Well, we did at least one.
Or maybe one. There was at least one, but that was a couple of weeks ago.
All right.
It was great.
what did I miss? Because I don't
remember.
Listen to the podcast.
It was like 3 weeks ago. Like, don't know.
Okay.
I literally can't remember what we talked about.
All right. Must have been great.
I'm sure it was great. No, we talked... Oh, look, I can't remember, so let's let it go.
Okay, you know what? I just realized you started running the timer, but I have no idea when I have to do things.
You can do things whenever you want, because you're the boss tonight.
So that's kind of, like, irrelevant. The time is just there.
Sure.
It's just reminding me that things are...
The time works.
Oh, yeah, no, you were
time
meant to...
Time marches on. It's that...
You're degrading people. But you're still going to do that.
We used up enough time.
Okay, no, that's okay.
Okay.
I'm just confirming
what
you're doing. But we have heaps to talk about
tonight. How are you, everybody?
I'm good. Are you guys good?
I'm good.
Yeah, we're pretty good.
I cleaned my house. It's very exciting.
Yes.
All right. Are you good? Got a bit of a sniffle, but yeah, I'm all right.
Although the actual room that we're doing the podcast in is...
Well, no, there's stuff
in the room. It feels like you cleaned everything and then just...
Well, no, because this is stuff that belongs in the study, and this is the exciting thing about finally cleaning. I have a milk crate shelf that is... there's the milk crates left to put on it, so that will be quite high. Mm-hmm. And then all this stuff is going into the milk crate shelf. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit more time-consuming.
Is that legit what you're going to use, like, as shelving?
Until I find a shelf I like. Yeah. And that's why I have not... finally put my house together because I cannot find a shelf I like. And then I was like, milk crates will totally do until I do.
I like it. Mm. It's kind of like... It's like
I mean, it's like I want that permanent student vibe in my
it's
home.
A life hack.
I'm questioning the structural integrity of this so-called shelf behind me.
I thought about that. Yeah. We should lean back on it and keep it up.
It does look a bit... Yes, yeah.
It'll do.
In other news.
I'm just impressed at how many musical instruments you've got. You've got bongos and a recorder.
Oh, my God.
Tambourine.
Recorder. Keyboard. Yeah. Guitar.
It's going to sound amazing as it collapses.
Yes.
It's that prog rock sound. It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
It'll be great.
Yeah. We could have our own little Partridge Family going on in here, for better or worse.
Hello, world. No,
what's that? Why is that?
What's the Partridge Family?
No, but what's that got...
What's that got to
do? I don't know. I'm the youngest one here. I don't know.
Do you know what the Partridge Family was?
The name is familiar.
It's a series from the 70s of a family without a father who get into a bus and each plays an instrument and they're a traveling band.
Would you say that it's
a comedy series?
It's almost
comedy is a relative term.
It's kind of like Brady.
Okay.
The Brady Bunch in a bus.
I was about to say it's like the Brady Bunch.
It is to the Munsters. Adam's Family Munsters, Brady Bunch, Partridge Family.
Got it.
Absolutely.
So the driver is a Frankenstein.
Except I always preferred Partridge Family to Brady Bunch, if I had to choose. It was always Partridge Family because of the music.
I see.
That's fair.
I see.
Yeah.
But there was a ringer. They had a redhead. So, you know.
You can't have it all.
Danny Bonaducci has gone on to great things and picked fights with famous people. He did. He was one of the guys from Oasis.
This is true.
Yeah.
Alright, that's pretty great. That is pretty great. Identical.
I'm going to have to go check out... Should I check out the Partridge Family?
No.
It's like, we're saying it's better than Brady Bunch, but we're not saying, like, waste your time watching it.
Would you bother watching the Brady Bunch?
Oh.
Maybe the Hawaii episode.
Yeah, but
for the tiki that Bobby
I like the song when the Brady Bunch go on the talent show and sing Hello World, there's a song that we're singing. No, that's Partridge Family.
I plagiarized it? What?
Oh, wait, what's the Brady Bunch one? Oh, and they do...
Oh, is it
the song?
You know, no, I'm not going to sing.
They
is it that
the song?
Keep, like the
keep on moving? Yeah,
it is.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
okay, good.
This
you
was really great.
Out.
I hope you all enjoyed the episode.
Yeah.
Derailing is what we're really good at.
It is
nothing if not a living tangent.
Tangent City. Yeah, that's all right. We should just change the name of the show really to.
What's your tangent? What's your tangenting?
Tangerining.
See, you've just done it again. There you go.
Tangeling. Yeah, we have. Okay.
This is now a show about fruit.
Yeah. It usually goes on to food at some stage, though.
That's true.
It's good.
Yeah.
We did food last time.
Yes.
We do food every time.
We did Vegemite chocolate.
We did Vegemite chocolate.
Oh,
last episode,
you ate it on air
episode,
and then did like...
Oh, it was disgusting.
It's not that disgusting.
It's not that good either. But last episode, we picked up the threads from the episode that we lost that we could.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Vegemite chocolate... Okay. Elroy, have you tried it?
I have.
What is
I had one piece.
Yep.
And it was
enough,
right?
I think that's the place to stop.
Yeah.
Like, have the one piece and go, that's an interesting thing. I think if you had two pieces, you'd be like, no. I'm no longer interested.
Do you know what I think my issue is personally with it is that they've tried to make the Vegemite a caramel toffee when I actually, just like in my life, I'm a very big fan of Vegemite on my pancakes. I want the sweet and savoury to clash in a good way, not merge.
I think you'd go on MasterChef for that.
Vegemite on pancakes.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Butter and Vegemite on pancakes. It's a great combination of sweet and savoury.
Are
you shaking your head or not? Don't be a fence sitter.
I'm open-minded.
Don't be Switzerland.
Yeah. Hey, everybody likes Switzerland.
You're like, the Vegemite chocolate wasn't too bad, but my idea is... What the fuck?
No, but it's because there was like a tiny bit of Vegemite. It was mostly just caramel, like salted caramel.
But that's the problem.
Chocolate.
Like, so the mixture of the salted caramel with the Vegemite was the problem. The salted caramel needed something else for the flavour than Vegemite.
You know what? They needed to just take the Vegemite out.
Exactly.
And just have salted caramel in chocolate.
See, I got stuck on Elroy having the one square because I think you're onto something there. Because when I went looking for it, I found they only sold it in the big white family blocks.
In the, like,
they want you to commit. They want you to pot commit to the whole block because they're like, you're going to have one block and you need
to... Do you know what they
do? And every other flavour comes in on those little bars, like the snack
size. The week that it came out, they actually discounted by more than half price every other flavour of chocolate so that they would have the other flavours of chocolate and then the Vegemite, a sign like it was on sale, but the sign said every flavour but the Vegemite and you would find it at the checkout. Oh, evil!
That is evil.
I noticed that actually when I went to buy it. And I was like, oh yes, I can get this like 2-for-1 deal or whatever it was. And then I was like, no, I have to pay like $5 for Vegemite chocolate.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Economy it's, gone mad.
It doesn't make Someone sense.
I'm calling the ombudsman.
Call Joe Hockey. Joe Hockey, get him to sort it out.
Oh, yeah, Joe Hockey will sort it out. Yeah. He'll just be like, just make more money.
He'll just get a better job and you can afford the chocolate.
And then you can afford the Vegemite chocolate. That's all we need to do.
And Mr. Cadbury rolls in our $5 notes.
All right. I think it's time for us to move on to news.
Yay. Well, we were kind of... Oh, they do it again.
No, that's it. Just that one.
Well, we kind of, just before we started talking, in the bloopers section that you will hear at the end of the episode, we were like, what news is there to talk about? Because it has been 3 weeks and there has been plenty.
Yeah.
But today, in fact, there's been the breaking news of pictures from the Ghostbuster set where everyone is
beside
themselves about. It's not as exciting as I thought the pictures would be.
Yeah.
I'm Googling this.
Show me the trailer or a scene. Yeah. It's just so much excitement. And I'm like, don't get me wrong. I'm actually excited to see the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And I love the mix of the cast. And I think they're going to do nerdy in a really, really fun way. But come on.
Yeah.
They weren't exciting pictures.
Yeah.
I guess there's nothing about the pictures that really says Ghostbusters yet, is there?
Yeah.
No.
Like there's no trappings or equipment they're wearing.
But I mean, people are excited because, you know, it's that's all we have to
no
go
No trappings.
Off, you know?
I see what you did
there. Oh, no, I didn't even think of that.
It's nerdy goodness and nerdy goodness is making me happy. And surely that should be enough.
I'm ashamed that I'm the only one not looking at my phone right now.
Well, no, I'm trying to see what you said.
Gosh, I'm going to send you all a text message. Just say, get off your phone.
So you guys may have noticed that the Watcher, Facebook and Twitter has been doing a bit more volume than usual because I've been on it for a while and I've gone a little bit nuts. And for those that haven't looked at it, I encourage you all to go to the Watcher page to look up a movie preview that came out this week called The Secret Life of Pets.
It's hilarious.
It's a preview that I need to go and see this film. Like, it's literally Pets, what they do when people go home. It's so people leave home.
When people leave.
And they're on their own. It's so cute and so much fun. I'm all for it.
I love that.
Neil Gaiman's American Gods has been turned into a series.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's finally happening. They said the only thing that's stopping it so far is they don't have a shadow. So everything's actually going along. They just haven't cast Shadow yet.
Yep.
Which is kind of
crucial. Okay,
would
you cast as
Shadow? Oh, clearly, Baldwin. He played the Shadow. He was so good as the Shadow. Get him back,
yeah.
Mine's almost as controversial. I was going to say...
Nicolas Cage.
Dwayne Johnson. The Rock.
No.
He's busy.
Busy, but if you read the book, he's also pretty much the physical description. He's a big guy.
I know where you're going with this, and you're about to make me very angry.
Because I'm a segue away from where I want to be.
Get there.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
So, there has been, on Dwayne Johnson news, there has been an announcement that he is looking to remake Big Trouble in Little China.
One of
the films nearest and dearest to my heart.
To be honest,
ever.
I don't give a shit what he does, as long as he's in it.
Like, really?
Yeah. All right, that's all right, fair enough. I think could be good news, because I think, you know, some remakes can work out well. Jared and I had a long discussion about this. Jared from Classic Comics. We're struggling to find some really good reboots, but otherwise... I don't think it's a terrible idea, but it's not going to fly unless John Carpenter's involved. So if he's involved, I'm all for it. If he's not, I'm cautious.
What about The Ring? The American version. That was good.
Yes, it was. Yeah. See, there's
a few
where it did work out well. And then you've got others really like RoboCop or Halloween, and the reboots just don't work.
Yep.
Well, should we make it like there's reboots and then there's foreign film remakes? Like, wouldn't call the
point,
you know,
that
like,
is, that is a very good point.
That is a good point.
Yeah, you've,
yes.
You've pulled us up by the scruff of that.
Yes. So far,
not amateur
foreign remakes
here,
are
people.
Good.
Yeah, I think you look at something like Rec and Quarantine and the Ring films and things like that. You often can't compare.
No,
and there's
true.
Actually.
But
there's...
I'm shaking my fist in as. But we will try.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Totally.
One bit of news that I just found out was, I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's on Netflix. You should check it out. There's a New Zealand film called Housebound. which is this really good, fun comedy horror. Very, very New Zealand.
New
Zealand comedy is great.
It is gross.
New Zealand horror.
The Almighty Johnsons. Have you guys seen?
Yes,
that?
I've been watching really that good. Just recently. Actually, Housebound is actually there's negotiations to make an American version of that as well.
Works so well for Kath and Kim.
Yes, it did. But certainly check out Housebound if you.
I feel like with platforms like Netflix and things now that there should be less remaking by Americans. They should just take our stuff on board. But hey, another big thing that's happened in the news land is that Jurassic World has smashed it at the box office in its first weekend.
They're talking about it eclipsing Avatar.
It's smashed it. It's completely...
It's already done that.
$511 million in the first weekend.
Right.
I don't even know what that number means. That's too big. I've got no concept for that.
Yeah.
You know how much Vegemite chocolate you could buy for that kind of money?
100 million.
It's approximating that like good paying job that Joe Hockey thinks we should all just
but
have.
That's, I mean,
so we should all be dinosaurs.
About it. I partially contributed because I saw it twice.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So, yeah.
Have you guys seen the meme that's popped up on the internet around Jurassic World? That scene where Chris Pratt is standing there in the cage, like, holding the raptors back, and people that work at actual zoos and stuff have been, like, imitating that
image. It's really cool, isn't it?
Awesome.
That looks fantastic.
Chickens and...
The one with the chickens, that's the best.
I love it.
I haven't actually seen it yet. So,
well, we will be talking about it in the What You're Watching.
You just have to...
But spoilers will be on.
But, like... Shit, there's dinosaurs.
There are dinosaurs.
There's dinosaurs
and they
attack
shit. People.
What?
Yeah. Shit goes out of control.
Yeah. No,
there's no Dr. Ian Malcolm, and that's really the only that's the travesty.
But did you stay till after the credits? Because I swear that there would be a post credits.
Ian Malcolm
turns
animatronic Goldblum.
So that means
there's not.
That's the rule.
Just keep waiting.
So you're saying
just stay there.
Ian Malcolm turning up to induct Chris Pratt into the new Avengers or something?
He's got an eye patch at the end of the film.
But there was a reference to him in the film. Did you guys see the guy in the control room with the old school Jurassic Park t-shirt? He had a book on his desk, and I'm sure it was Chaos Theory, Dr. Ian Malcolm's Chaos Theory.
There were touches all the way
and
through.
It was him in a really like seductive kind of pose.
I'm not going to look at it again. Maybe I'll look for screenshots.
Cool. Do we have any more news?
I think that covers the news.
Snippet. There was E3, the giant video game exhibit. Mm-hmm. Exhibit? Is that the word?
Exhibition.
Exhibition. I don't really know the news that came out of it because I saw Fallout 4 and just shut down everything else. So I'm very excited for Fallout 4.
Then you missed the trailer for Just Cause 3.
I did.
Holy balls. More exploding, more running rampant,
more
chaos,
balls.
More balls, more grappling. He now has a winged suit, so like you can jump out of aeroplanes now and not just go straight for the parachute. You can actually fly. You can fly. It still has the grapple, still has the parachute, still blows stuff up. Amazing.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, goodbye, real world. When that comes out, I'm locking the door.
I'm still all about my classic arcade games. There's actually a place that's opened up down the road that I'm going to insist we visit called Pixel Alley, and it's a bar with classic arcade games.
I'm sold already.
I am a Pac-Man freak, you know, like really the old ping pong, even Space Invaders. This is what personal favourites are Bubble Wubble and Bomber Jack.
So you're really into games with strong narrative.
Oh, completely. I'm really about a strong moral core and the youth
absolutely.
Of today.
Yep.
Bomber Jack was one of my favourites.
Those emotional scenes with Bub and Bob, they just hit you
in
the heart.
Can I have a bit of a cry? Last night, eBay did me wrong last night.
What? That's never happened before.
I kind of did it to myself. I sort of went, no, I'm not spending any more than $20.
That always goes well.
It was only three minutes. The auction was ending. It had like 3 minutes left. Still only like $1.20 was all.
And how much did it go to?
People
with the algorithms.
I'm totally going to nail this. I'll put $20 on this and I will be taking home this copy of Fighters Megamix for the Sega Saturn. It will be mine.
Do you have a Sega Saturn?
I still have a Sega Saturn.
I was making hipster jokes earlier, and I don't think I can anymore.
Yeah, no. And excuse me, but three of us on Twitter were actually talking about lending each other Sega Saturn games today. So you know, there's quite a thriving people. But I missed out. I missed out on Fighters Megamix.
What did it go for?
$21 something.
Those bloody algorithms. And even when I made a mate of work was going, you know, you can just put this in, and there's a website that does it for you, and it'll automatically up the price. in the last minute and a half for you. And I was like, but that's evil. And she,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's
there's
evil.
There's a moral core to it that I refuse to engage in.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a fan of the snipe. I'll wait till the last second. I am going to commit this. I'm only going to spend this amount of money. I'm not even going to leave myself enough time to vote to bid again.
Does it work for you often?
It does, actually. Because normally what happens is people don't put their highest bid on. They put they lowball it and they just wait to see what will happen. Then they start doing this one-upping each other. Just go, well, I would pay maximum X, bang, done. And if you nail it in that last 15 seconds or whatever it is,
eBay app is an annoying danger in my life because it lets you know, oh, you've been outbid. Would you like to make another one? So it just encourages this.
That's just mean.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Evil. Mm-hmm.
Hey, loser. Hey, loser, that thing you want? Yeah, not yours anymore. No.
You can still not be a loser.
You know that euphoria you had about being the guy that had the highest? No, not anymore.
It's gone.
Yeah.
But we could help you get it.
50 cents.
Yeah, there's still time.
All right, guys.
Can
before
you do that, I was going to say, I want to put something to the floor, host. Have we really been reading anything, or could we just talk about what we're watching? Because I feel like there's a lot.
Well,
we've
I
been
did
watching.
Finish a book, and I would like to. Talk
I'm
about
gonna.
It.
All right, then we can talk about you, but I'm gonna bow out of reading because I read a couple of comics today to talk about. I don't need to.
That's
all
right.
So I feel like we can dedicate more time to watching because we've got movie bad.
No, we've got so much to talk about with watching.
Yeah.
And you know,
I'm
so
just
that's
gonna
all good.
Put into the clock, allocate more time, so Mark knows that
excellent.
We're doing good
that's
things.
You missed you missed the phone there by inches
by that much.
Yeah. All right. On that note, I'm pretty sure we're done with news.
Yeah.
So let's go to what we're watching.
Why not?
Why not indeed? What you watching?
Are we starting with movies or TV?
Oh God, are we starting with like a particular person or are we just starting with a particular title?
I'm letting
because
you fly with it.
Are we gonna, are we starting with just random questions or what are we?
Yeah,
sorry,
let's
sorry.
Just start with random questions. Let's just do that. No, all right, Jurassic World, dinosaurs. Let's talk about it.
Hands up if you watched it. Okay, great. Nick,
I'm out.
I love the words. Try not to spoil
I'm
for
gone.
Nick.
Oh, you need to do a spoiler alert. Mike's not here.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, that was
how
so...
How do I do what? I can't do it like Mike. Hang on.
Oh.
I need a different way. It's a spoiler. It's a spoiler. It's a spoiler alert. That's the non-Mike
one. That was
the
Dean version.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's nice. That's unique.
That was good.
Yeah. I've retreated
like
to my
code head. You look like, literally like a code
your
head.
Hoodie of silence.
But seriously, Nick, like dinosaurs. Nick,
you haven't seen it. So before we start with spoilers, you tell us what you think happens in it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great idea. I like this. All right. So we've got four main players. We've got Chris Pratt being the handsome, hunky guy who high fives.
Great nipples.
Dinosaurs.
Grey nipples.
Grey.
Oh, I'm like,
great.
How old
I didn't
is
see
he?
That.
We've got Vincent D'Onofrio, who is not the kingpin.
He's no.
But he's...
He's the kingpin.
He's
yep.
the bad guy.
Yep.
You've got, I'm going to sound horrible, but I don't actually know what her name is.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
I always confuse her
Ron's with... Ron's daughter.
I always confuse her with Kirsten Dunst, and I've got no idea why. And the fourth player is the dinosaur, because that's like the wild card of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The wild bunch. And that dinosaur figures out how to code JavaScript and takes down the network.
He's basically the little girl who goes like, oh, this is Unix. I know Unix.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? And when did Unix have a 3D interface?
And then it hacks into Chris Pratt's computer and turns Chris Pratt's entire life into Sandra Bullock.
So it's
and
the
then,
net now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did they call it? What do they call it? The trying to, whatever they make, the he's a hacker. This
Hackasaurus Rex.
Hackasaurus Rex.
Yes, that's who he is. Yeah.
I want to see this version of the movie. This is
and
really
and then while
like
that's
it.
All happening, this giant thing eats a shark that's hanging on a giant wire for some reason, and that's all just a giant distraction because the dinosaur is then using its IT skills to steal all the money. It's a bit Ocean's 11, but with more dinosaurs and less down the ocean.
Ocean.
Okay.
You are like
you're a savant. You are like you don't need to buy a ticket ever.
That's 2.5 minutes. We'll never get back.
I write for Wikipedia.
Right. Mostly, you are correct.
Yeah.
Like most of that happens. It's not net based mayhem, but you know there's still mayhem.
Okay. I want to the ones of us that have watched it. Did we enjoy it? I thought it was great.
I enjoyed it. Like I thought
it's not winning an Academy Award.
It was a romp. Like it was a fun romp. Obviously, like
within the vein
I,
of what Jurassic Park movies are, I was really happy.
Yes, but I mean, it definitely doesn't have anything on the original. Like, I went in there being a huge fan of the original, and you know, I mean, I was actually thinking afterwards, like, I sort of thought about it, and I'm like, okay, technically, it has all the things it should have. got dinosaurs, it's got great actors who play the roles well, it's got, you know, some kind of a narrative, a vague plot that kind of means
well,
something.
Well, it's got a classic B-movie horror it's, plot.
Totally.
Yeah, but it, you know, I mean...
Wait, there's a dinosaur with like a really dodgy William Shatner mask and it runs through, well, it doesn't run through the park, it walks very slowly after someone the whole time?
That's... I believe they're
that's one of them. That's a subplot.
For me, more and one more of the issues of the film was the depth perception of a dinosaur running after you.
Oh.
For instance, a T-Rex. Like, yeah. And let's... All right, I love that the world are making fun of the fact that running in high heels is not easy.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that because it's my one thing is she really still wearing high heels at mm-hmm. the end of this film? Like, come on. And I do want to... Now, what was her name? Sorry, Dallas Bryce Howard?
Bryce Dallas
Howard.
Yeah,
someone like Dallas Bryce. She... Well. I feel like this was a role that was written for Kirsten Bell.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, but I feel like it's a role that was written for her. It's just screamed at her. But Dallas Bryce Howard did a really good job with a very two-dimensional female character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think I look at... I've seen it twice, and I look at what she did within this movie, and she is the actor who is working the hardest the whole way through.
With because the
she
least.
Is, with the yeah. least. She has nothing. Like, she has three very different... connective threads to bring to this role, and she does it in a really good way. And I don't know if another actor would have been able to pull it off. And even after a second watching, I still have a lot of respect for what she did for it because it was so nothing, so two-dimensional, very much, you're not a corporate bigwig, you're not a corporate, you know, like it was all very much just, not quite there, and she brought it together in a really strong way. In fact, I feel like she actually... overshadowed
the dinosaur.
What's his name? Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Oh, she definitely
in narrative by the end, and that was really great.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of smart. I think it's an actual. It's a smart dumb movie.
Yeah.
And there's a lot in it that was, you know, big and dumb, but there was, you know, the acknowledgement of the original film. Like the guy wearing the t-shirt,
that's
so really, really self-aware.
Genuine question, just before you go further.
Yep.
Is it actually a sequel or a reboot?
It's a sequel. It's within the universe of the movies that already exist. I mean, I don't think we really count the third film, but I think that's just out of respect.
So they refer to, like you know, they sometimes jokingly refer to, you know, what happened when this used to be
with
Jurassic
Hammond
Park and the
and
whole,
one of the guys
like,
is wearing a Jurassic Park t-shirt.
So he paid $300 to buy off eBay.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know it's in poor taste because, you know, people died, but so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Okay, cool. Sorry.
It is a really good romp of a film. Like, honestly, when you think about, we're going to make a park and there's going to be dinosaurs and it's all going to be okay. Like, I was loving the crap out of it.
Mm.
Everything that could goes wrong, goes wrong. Yet still there's time for margaritas.
That's
Dan, that is the
life.
Best. That is the best tagline ever.
Margaritas? Yeah. Is it margaritas or is that the pizza?
What?
Yes and yes.
Wait,
you
so margaritas wasn't
both.
Right. I was meant to say
you can drink
mojito.
Margaritas.
Oh, cool. I got it right then. I was like, wait, did I say the pizza and mean a drink? No, I got it right. Okay, cool.
I
got my
know
food
what
and drink confused.
About,
you know, in the big, when the bird dinosaurs, what are they called?
Pterodactyls.
Pterodactyls are picking people off.
Yeah.
And there's a guy running with his margarita
drink. Oh, yes.
He's the true star of the film.
Yeah.
Okay, so
he's got his priorities.
We're trying very hard not to spoil it, but one of the things I love is that scene with the what are they called again?
I don't think
it's pterodactyls.
Pterodactyls.
Pterodactyls grabbing people, picking off. That English chick gets exactly what she deserves.
I want to talk about that because that's a really important scene in the whole and it the sleight of hand in the set. Yes, block your ears. Spoiler. The way they set up the finale, how the big fight at the end ends, they tell you at least twice during the course of the film how they're going to end the film.
Exactly.
And they do it in such a way that I even sat there when the English girl died and I thought, well, that was a bit unnecessary. It was completely necessary.
It was completely necessary because it feeds it through. One of the things, cover your ears, Nick, the mates that I went through had an issue with was that as a plot point because that dinosaur got access to being so close. But that is in relation to the barrier being broken.
It is.
You see it happens and I rewatched that for the second time. But you're right. Like, they really set it up. They set it up smartly. What I think is really nice is they really show that the only way the Triceratops can kill you is by poking you with their beaks. Like, they can't eat people. They can't cut them in half.
Mm-hmm.
It was very much a I'm trying to eat a steak that's too big situation.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I
look the whole film. Like, I think the way it's structured, it really structured things in a really smart way. Mm-hmm. It really brings the dinosaur across as a really smart. The dinosaurs are characters in these films, which haven't had before, and I just think it's really a really intelligent approach to take with it, because we empathize with all of them.
Yeah.
You know, there it's not very, it's not two dimensional, and even the Tyrannosaurus Rex, like, you need that in every Jurassic
that was film. It was a little bit like, you know, seeing Han Solo show up again in, you know, like, it was so good to see that. Yeah,
and this is why I'm really like, of course they're gonna make another film, but I was really chuffed with it. I thought it was great. I thought it was a barrel of fun. I loved it.
I think the lesson that we really come away from this film is that, you know, people are the real monsters.
Yeah. But this is actually, I mean, it made good commentary on our society.
Yeah.
Commercialism, really, man. Good. Like, yeah. Exploitation. Really,
and not just in a stupid way. Like, it kept doing it the whole way through, right to the very end. And I think it was one of the best endings of a Jurassic Park film. Like, I think the director was really smart. And there weren't as many edits in this film as I expected. There were a lot of continuous shots, which for me, I'm like, that's just impressive from a filming point of view, because you're not only using green screen and you're using 3D, but you're doing it for a large extent of time. Mm. And you've got these actors and the set working in such a way. It's just masterful. And for me, I just felt like it's kind of like you've crafted scenes like a play, because you know we're not going to cut away. And they didn't. And I really enjoyed that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, very smart, big, dumb action movie. Yeah,
totally. Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
We're walking away happy.
yeah.
Watching that on my way home, I think.
Yes. Let's, all right, so...
I want to talk Mad Max.
Oh, okay, Mad Max.
Mad Max Fury Road. Max, I went and saw that. Now, the circumstances were less exciting. It was my brother-in-law's box. It was the most exciting part of the day. But, it was weird. It's a surprise box. Well, and not so much of a surprise. And he doesn't like when people drink. And I'm like, what else is there to do on a box? So the irony of the funny part of it is I booked the tickets for the film. We went into the cinema. The cinema was completely blank. And it was because I booked the tickets for the next day. Luckily, there was a screening starting 5 minutes later in another cinema that had room for us. But Mad Max Fury Road is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, so, such a good film. And I wasn't that excited at first, because I'm like, oh, Mad Max. But what I love is Mad Max is a secondary character to this film.
Yeah.
This is one long, this is what Fast and Furious should be. You know, like, one long, driving, awesome fucking thing.
Yeah.
And I want to know actually how many kilometers were covered. Like, if you watch that film.
Because it's most of it is all done live. Yeah. Most of it is all done actual, like, very little green screen. Really impressive.
And it's amazing, like, that the majority of the film is literally just a...
Oh, crap. Hang on.
That'll be mum.
Pause.
You guys keep talking. I'll get the door.
There's a call coming from inside the house.
How about we just pause?
So what's your favourite ringtone?
Call Jack. I'm going to kill him recording.
Oh, this has got to stay in.
Okay, that works. There's like four of them. I'm like, no, you're not coming up here. We're recording. I'm the
four of them.
Four people.
Was it the Ninja Turtles? The Beatles?
Well, one of them is
the like Sex and the City cast. Hey, Kim Cattrall can come in. I need to talk to her about Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh,
wonder what she thinks about it.
Oh, she's not going to get a call.
No, okay, I'm waiting for the Mannequin reboot.
Oh my god, I love Mannequin. Mannequin 2, not so much.
No.
Now I'm going to have that. Nothing's going to stop us now. Okay.
Again, I do not know this reference.
Oh my god, Mannequin. We've got it. We need a trashy film night for M.
Yes.
I've seen plenty of trashy
films. Like, really trashy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, Mad Max Fury Road. Sorry. My jaw distracted me.
Saying, so the entire movie is basically like a car chase. Yeah. And when you just think about how incredible it is that they built this awesome narrative and you know, all this social commentary into just a car chase for 2 hours.
Really, it's impressive.
Yeah,
impressive.
So much better than Thelma and Louise did it.
So true.
And with so little dialogue as well.
But this
entire slams.
So little dialogue and such strong characters.
Yeah.
I was so fucking impressed and really enjoyed it and loved it. And this is another one that isn't a reboot. It's a continuation of the films.
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. It's a continuation of the actual films.
I thought it was just...
No,
a reboot.
It's a continuation. It's just the like same Jurassic Max Park, and it's fucking It's not the same Max. It's a isn't it a different Max?
Same Max. He's just moved on. He's changed his face.
He's just regenerated. It's like in a soap opera when they say, like, you know, tonight the part will.
Also, when he had the plastic surgery and then they revealed it.
He had a really bad car crash and he looked great afterwards.
Yeah.
It is such an. It's such a great film. The way in which they chose to tell the story was really impressive. Some fantastic English and Australian actors in it. I was really impressed. I do want to just shout my disappointment for Megan Gale. No one should look that pretty at all. And she looked
in
general. She just looked too pretty, and you've got all these women, they're beating the sun, their skin's like this, and she's totally moisturized. And, oh my god, I'm just gonna accidentally be naked for no apparent reason on an oil rig and then come down the chain, which is just gonna chafe. And and I mean, don't get me wrong, she had a great kick-ass scene and moment. I did cheer when she got hit by the car, but I actually wanted at that moment to go, now's I want to see more of this character. But she was really bland, and that's not her fault. They relied on her prettiness too much. They could have messed her up a little bit more. Her face was totally clean.
Yeah.
Where did that water come from?
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's fair.
Right.
But that was a choice they made because she is the only young one and da-da-da-da-da. And she's gorgeous, don't get me wrong. Mm. But it's the one bit that just felt odd for me. I did love Rose from All Saints. I'm talking real Ocker Aussie.
Who's that?
She's the actress who played the bipolar person on All Saints years ago.
No, but who was that in Mad Max?
She was one of those women as well, and she was the blonde one. But
she
it
was
hearing
amazing.
These Australian, great, really strong female Australian actors. And I was that one of the things I loved is having them to have this kind of a role, I thought was really awesome. Really butcher their own accents for the role, I thought was really hysterical.
I have a question that I've got to ask you guys, because you've just reminded me just then with the whole where'd that water come from thing. The bit when they're all talking about they're going to jump on their bikes and just ride north,
south, drive.
And they talk about how many days they're going to go in a straight line. That's got to be the ocean, doesn't it? Like, the ocean's got to be gone now, because they refer to that as the salts. And then they talk it's going to be like 100 days. And I thought, where could you ride 100 days straight?
But
it's got to be the oceans are gone, isn't it?
That's my point. That's the point. I thought that's what I thought it was with the salt. Like, I thought it was that. Yeah, the water is gone in the world, and this is what's happened.
I just thought that was an awesome idea that there's actually no ocean anymore at all. Yeah. It's one giant dirty landmass,
desolateness.
Yes.
And there's nowhere to go, and that's like, we'll find something, we'll find something, and you are going to find nothing. And I love that. I was literally going, oh my god, like, that's where it's going to end. That's great, but awful. And then they turned it around, and I loved it.
Yep.
Would have been fantastic to see them sort of riding past, like
the road
ships,
the Titanic.
Yeah, like ships that have just been left to rust now, and that there's no water. But like,
A part of me feels like if they'd done that though, that would have been a little too Planet of the Apes-y. When it was a lot more, I think
it's very subtle the way they did it.
I really loved the amount of detail that went into the cars and the look and the style, like designing this
beautiful.
And costuming it would have been so much fun.
Yeah.
Did anyone see the video that focused on how the whole thing was center framed?
Yes.
It's a really, really nice little video that one of the reasons that you are not completely lost during this film, which is pretty much nonstop action, is that Miller was, anal about keeping the action right in the center of the screen. So every time, every cut cuts to the center of the screen, like whatever the point of action in that shot is, it's at the center of the screen. Yeah. So you basically sit there with your eyes transfixed on the center of the screen.
That's great.
And if there's like people they're coming from outside to the center, every focal point is in the center of the screen. And it's the reason why you can have so much crazy shit going on and you don't get eye fatigue, that you don't sort of feel like, I just couldn't concentrate any longer. Really, really smart move. And the cinematographer was saying that all he could hear through the radio mics was center of the screen, center of the screen, center of the screen, the whole time.
So awesome.
Cool.
And how great is it that the original director gets to do this with his initial
film? It's his.
So
no
impressive.
One else can touch it.
Awesome.
Still, Megan Gale could have been a bit dirtier.
But Charlize Theron was
have split ends. Anything.
Maybe they should have had split ends in the film.
You know what, for me, it's just enjoyable to see. Like, she can sometimes be very hit and miss because when they try to... not all the time, it's more hit than miss, but she sometimes I just feel underwhelmed by her at, in certain films. She's just, but when she brings it out, she brings out those guns. Like, I honestly went, walked away from this film going, I don't think they'll ever give Academy Awards to a Mad Max film, but they should.
Yeah.
The soundtrack, the score, the scoring of this film was phenomenal. You know, the depth of characters was so strong. It was so impressive. And I just, yeah, it's going to go to fucking Tom Hanks or something.
And the scale was impressive. Like, it was so just impressive. Stupidly big.
Like, it just, it's just, it still boggles my mind. I really hope that film's on the plane while I'm traveling so I can watch it again. But it really just, it's so nice to see something so impressive and so well crafted and be able to appreciate it and also just have a bit of a, you know.
Well, especially when all you're really expecting is to see just a big action movie.
Yeah.
And then you get that, which is awesome, but then you also get this actually really, you know,
clever, it's solid.